to measure child growth. Don't think that you have to have more time in your patches to invest in the patches and all this. That is general comment.
You know, it's, I think sometimes it must be very clear what is the political intent of this particular thing, what to achieve in this particular thing that we're talking about. Because it may not help us to try and test knowledge of specific official, you know, on the spot, trying to test them. And again, that Edward has indicated before that it may defeat the objective if we create a situation where you may not get a quality answer. And I think what we have been understanding all along was that we are not necessarily asking questions for ourselves, but we are asking questions on behalf of our constituency. And to solicit answers, as Honorable Boy has been saying, trying to communicate that message. And therefore, the intent should be to get questions, answers that are beneficial to ourselves and the constituents of the students. Now, Chair, I have an opinion that when you ask a question, there is a definite answer. And when the answer is not being given, in a manner that is satisfactory, everybody will be aware that this is not necessarily the answer to this particular question. And I tend to be inclined to say, if this is a point of debate, it's a debate, like one of the things people have clarified here before, where you know you can have that point of debate and then the members have 15 minutes of debate or whatever, then it's a different issue altogether. But if it is just a question that on the half, I'm not sure we can use the words, of course, whether we have tried to create an opportunity of ambushing all particular employees and then in front of the public, trial, whether we need to. Was that?
Yes.
Yes. I mean, the president and the president, the ministers and all that. Surely you know you never participated on the appointment of any minister. You never participated. You see? So all what one is saying is that the political intent of this of the CAF action and the potential of actually making you to solicit answer that you may not be happy about. And on behalf of the constituents. So that's the area that it is really giving me problems. As long as we all agree that you are asking questions on behalf of constituents, you know, it's not just simply on your own behalf, you know, it's whether one has certain things sort of like as we have said yesterday. And I really have serious reservations.
Thanks, Chief Minister. Chief Minister, as you know, I like this suggestion very much. I also chatted yesterday about the snack debate, the backbenching debate, which everyone also liked the idea of. So I'm very much in favour of this. I need to just keep in mind two very important issues. The minister should never be in a position where they call for fraud, because the minister should be so on top of their portfolio that no question should be able to catch for fraud. That's why they're minister. And so I think that that argument, unfortunately, for Honourable Mashida, I think is completely flawed, because that means you don't have confidence in your ministers to know what they want to do, because they won't be called for fraud. And it's not a case of ambushing a minister. Ministers should not be able to be ambushed. The ministers should be on the cutting edge of their portfolio, and they should be able to tell the answer to any question they get posted. And certainly, I see the Deputy Chief Whip there. I know that the Deputy Chief Whip would expect the ministers to come to Parliament to answer any question that he posed to them. And of course, he wasn't a super minister in the Lady Funnel, because he didn't Chair, I want some clarity, Chair, and this is on the floor, you must give me clarity, thank you. not follow the party sequence unless otherwise determined by the rules committee. How then are we going to determine who asks the questions? Because what worries me is what if we get a situation and people are not passing dispersions of anyone, I'm just using this as an example, what if you have a situation where the speaker refuses to recognize you, which has happened, the speaker has said, I refuse to recognize you. So unless you have a party sequence, how do we circumvent that kind of situation occurring? And then the last part, unless otherwise permitted by the speaker, then there's plenty of questions that are coming up and given an opportunity to follow. So, Honourable Ndlozi, are you suggesting that you ask a question, you get an answer, and that's it? There's no further supplementary questions, and then we go straight on to the next question. Thank you.
Honourable respect. Because as a collective, as a member of parliament, we ask me to do something. It is yes, that we should treat each other as honorable members. Let's respect each other. Because if you don't work like that, you never ever put collective in parliament. It's always thinking different to each other. If a member becomes honorable now, that he has some secret views, let's put our mind on the views that we can. So that's the list of members who are along with them, who are along with the chair, said that we really are quite happy, said that we are able to come to the collective. This is what we're thinking. We said that it shows the honorability and each other. We should be able to defend that. And as a chair, said, we would continue to go to apply our mind. We had my client said yesterday that we have had this word for a very long time. We have not done anything in the institute. That's why we quite excited the fact that we have stubbornly applied mind on this, and that is what we think we should do in relation to the work. We might not have done the work, but as a party, we will take it and represent something that is defeated by our party. And honesty, that as a member of parliament, we give us food for thought in our organization in parliament. I think the challenge that we have quite clearly is how do we keep it consistent with all the rules that we have now been outlining, as that's already been taken. If you say the president, to whom the oral question is going to be asked to, how do we make sure that the six questions that have been said by the rules are not from violation? As we could have seen when we were covering the issue, not to a collection of any practices, as if anything of that nature has happened, if it has happened, then what do we do? Because then the public perception is the parliament is not able to function. And then you see that percentage of office that we have in the community and rules. Because all our questions should be outstanding. There's no way that we can justify that, which is not correct. But practically, we might not have applied in terms of how do we do this as well. And how do you not have run rules parallel to each other? That's our challenge. So, all our questions for this particular day, you could say we should take them to the rules committee. And the rules committee, in your aid, which is what Honorable Dakana said, is the Supreme Court in Parliament, to continue outlining the work of Parliament. But clearly here, we must apply our mind hard to some of the questions that Honorable Ashida would have raised. Genuinely show that what happened and how well, what it will be the same members and the same back in that thing. Honorable Deputy Chief, the Minister of Finance, did not answer. This is the question I'm asking you. We're ill prepared for the question. And then he came in her image, he damaged his head in the question that she has not prepared for the question. So maybe we should reflect more in this, take it and internalize it, and take it as part of the country, and something that we think is paramount in enhancing democracy, because I know what I mean, enhancing democratic participation in parliament. Honorable Natasha already indicated that if you trust your president, trust the president, Because we've taken them through the manifesto, we've taken them through all the work that we do in the NEC. Why would we have trust that we know what is happening in this particular day? Why would we take a question from the music, one of the groups in the faces of ESCOM? Because it is ESCOM that cares for the NEC. Can tell about the things. So it's a little tricky, but something that we allow my own. I'm trying to find solutions for it. If we would have created a Krishna Kumar, open ourselves, what are the discussions about ourselves, come back with a solid position on the process.
Thank you. That's one.
On the earth. I mean, a Socrates that has no opposition gets lazy and doesn't practice as much. But ministers know they become departments on a particular regular basis, and as you become a portfolio, they're going to take a far bigger interest in those matters. I really like this. I would like to go back and grapple with it in terms of some effects of how we work with them up hard. But I think it's been shut down. I think we should.
Okay, well,
I just want to say with regard to, we had Rule 200 in 1994, which was questions without prior notice to the president. In terms of the rule, what would happen is that there would be a determination that 10 names would be put into a hat or something, and the names would be drawn at random, and the names then get placed on the order paper, and those would be the person that would be prepared to put questions to the president, the minister, or the deputy president. And it's no different to the way we have statements at the moment, where statements are put and ministers respond. However, this would just be questions to a specific minister, president, or deputy president. The main reason why this rule fell into disuse, because it was only with regard to questions to the president, was there was a consideration out of deference to President Mandela and his age, not to subject him to this kind of rudimentary scrutiny of the executive. And because of that, it was eventually decided to do away with Rule 200 at the time.
I think the reason was also that the other executive was new to government, and you could not really expect the executive to form the company by answering all the range of issues when they were all new to them. Thank you.
And then I think if we manage well, they can also repay us, taking their appointed business. About 200,000 people now, the old parliament, so 20,000. And it's still good, so maybe from those who, that's why you want this now, want to take us 1 year. But also, don't worry, my Chile is good, which is good.
And that's what we're doing now.
The attitude that we adopt is, by the way, cabinet and the president always do this, but outside parliament, in press conferences. When they go to press conferences, that's a joint press conferences of most of them are alive in front of 24-hour channel. So it's not, it's like much, if they can put them outside parliament, they can do it inside parliament. Even President Mandela, maybe parliament, my understanding is that it was because of his age, not because of, from the understanding that I got from the, I have seen him handle questions in the first conference as well. In his first conference when he came out of prison at a shock court was like the whole international media was shocked that this man is not possibly was behind bars or probably right, but so it's not something new. It's what the ministers deal with unprepared questions all the time. Two, Honorable Natasha,
no, I retain the president. It was the president when it was, they were hanging, she wanted to reform Nigeria. Then he came to the house that afternoon, and then he told me, to ask the question, what are you saying? And then President Mandela went, he was, you know what he did? He created a relationship with other Nigerian. And that was the problem. From there on, the agency must control it. That's where we started to change the rules. To make sure that we have allow presidents to answer questions in this manner. Means have so you never must be. Because from there on, everybody to go to Nigeria and go and see that. No. Because yes, because you are totally anti all the other work that you have done. And that was our experience. From there on, we've been controlling the subject. I can't be answered.
That's an experience.
I don't
that
wrong. Yeah, the issue of the sequence of parties. Remember that I went on those notes that were provided. It seemed to me that what we had in mind for the FGV is we relaxed parliament on that day. So, like notices, what is this called? Notices of motion. Yeah, we deal with that session in that way. You raise your hands, the speaker accuses them, and then they concede, and then you pose a question, and there shouldn't be a supplementary question. It's like as lively as it's like that. And then why I made that provision there is because I'm saying that as and when in the judgment of the rules committee, they may want to, in certain instances, impose a such sequence, then they've got a capacity to learn. Otherwise, it should be seen as a lively thing. And then, finally, the thing of the speaker, I think you understand that maybe there's no longer questions, so the speaker can allow a person to then do a follow-up. But if it's a different person, and that person is doing a follow-up, she might allow it to go on because it's a question of the member. And then, the final one has to do with candidate position. I think, again, the thought that I had in my ear, the as to when this happens must be subject to discussion. You must not be too restrictive in the future. So the rule committee must take an opportunity every day to say when do we do questions about oral questions without notice for oral reply with the president. It has not been set out prescriptively in the rules. All the time we must say, okay, let's do it at this time, let's do it an hour more, or let's set up a separate day. That's the liveliness with which itself it must be. I thought we can always have it open-ended, as it were, like that, and give the opportunity to the rules committee to apply annually as when do they set it up and for how long. But I think that the final thing I would like to say is everything here must be understood in the spirit of the rules. Members must still ask questions that are relevant. Members must still conduct themselves properly. They must not sing. They must, because the rules must apply. There's no crisis at all. Honorable Mashiach can be safe in that sense. But it's a good tradition that I think we must take up.
Okay, well, let us do weapons. You may see where one people that has a deputy president can start with ministers, they start some forms. We have two examples. The principle is well accepted. And you may want to avoid the creating what happened. And there is good president, deputy president. And the minister has got the responsibility of the official to fear and then put up. You have to be gentle. That's when so that you don't slam yourself as a family that was rejected. And still go there with the idea that was rejected, one has to switch on. And then as well, yourself is a very good idea. And then the pipeline, and then I think it would be very exciting for them. A charter was in the social service. They never leave the country. I think the machine would be very helpful. Is that a much more important question, though? It belongs to the question. Okay, so it's better to move on. Yes,
sorry, I was just trying to correct something I said earlier on about the Powers and Privileges Act and Mrs. Craig to reply to questions. It seemed to me that the root of the Powers and Privileges is clear that if any member, including the ministers, willfully refuse to comply with the rules and decisions of the House, then that's contempt of Parliament. But it occurred to me subsequently that the rules do not actually specify that a minister must be present on a particular question day, or that a minister must answer a particular question. And if those rules do not provide that, then you cannot accuse the minister of being failing to comply with a rule. And so it would become an issue then that the rules would be clear about the obligation of the minister on the question day, and I'm not sure if they should do that. So that is a qualification. The power is just clear, but the issue is what precisely do the rules specify and require. So in that response, Mr. McKeith, I think that I simply just send you off as a full
content. Okay, so we'll write it out today. I thought that was an issue that should not apply our mind. And so I thought that whoever attended, I mean, the minister is not there. It's another minister, it's two ministers in another question. And then, of course, we take a view that if the minister is not answering questions for a year, so the minister can say, I'll just stay away from parliament for a year, delegate other colleagues who answer questions and this minister. and then something that was a vile man. But the intention is not to punish anyone, but then so that they will remain their lives accordingly. Okay, now that's fine for you. Thank you, Honorable Joseph, for the point that we are going to consider it. And then it seems in principle we are not against the idea. We have to work out the mechanics of it, how to implement it, how does it work. Maybe verify him on that. Come with some options. My care to have experience of Kenyani, Saruyua, Doctor. They have some understanding what we can do to tighten it up to ensure that people can focus on future discussion. Okay, but I think it would be very exciting. But the reasons are not there, and I'm capable of answering questions. Excuse me, okay? Can we move to agent questions? 1121. Any point there? Should we agree?
Sir, what I'm looking at that sub one, you know, it's on our proposal, is that when there's an element of a request to the leader in writing, how urgent is that question to have? If you are just going to write, I mean, there is a couple of days before and after the decision to ask this question, it really is going to be an urgent question. I don't know, unless it is explained to me a little bit better, because my understanding is that an urgent question may arise when a member is in the house, and ask that member to get that particular urgent question. But if there is an element of a time lapse which is used to write a letter to ask for permission, you would wonder. Then I'm not sure whether it's still urgent, that particular question, because almost the leader knows it now. You know, during that particular time of writing for permission and direction. So, you know, in line with what we have just discussed now, if this is agreed, what the Honorable Joseph is asking, then this one, then it's obsolete.
First, we must always say what is the intention of the what is the meaning? The only story that I can write is the meaning. And I think that's what we want to do, because when we convince scholars, they should not be able to say it. And they think from this, it will be very sad. They can't be one person without notice and so that should be something.
My understanding is that we have problems with the necessary questions to the President, Lady President, 9 working days. Or there's something they arise that members want to ask a question in a short period of 9 working days. So then for ministers, they call in a cluster. If a cluster has happened and something happens, and members want to put a question to us, then the campus does take half turn, and that you see the next opportunity that minister may be in 4 months' time. In terms of cluster rotation. And so the idea is that this rule allows for to ignore the notice periods normally apply. And to get a question formally put forward for advice by the minister. It's not something all the couple to check the house and then just raise on the floor. It is a formal question which allows the minister to respond to.
Otherwise, our whole system of rotating will actually fall away. and these would make provision for official notification. Yeah, it was my understanding that this urgent question was almost done in the spirit of a debate of national importance. It's in a situation where something occurs immediately that needs an answer but doesn't require an entire debate behind it. And that was my understanding when I first got to Parliament in Action Step in 2009. It was one of the questions that was raised in Mr. Bucket when you explain questions to us.
Mm.
It was one of the questions that was raised to you see how it was in the train.
No.
And I think it's very important that that remains, because there will be times where you need an answer, but it doesn't require the base national importance, but it requires an immediate answer. So I'm quite happy with that.
No, it's a very vital contribution in our system. If you, when soldiers are in a car, somebody has to answer. Somebody has to ask a question. What happened? And the nation was waiting. So that is how it happened all the time. That the nation had an expectation. I mean, if there's a crisis of any sort, that's all. Then to come, and somebody has to answer. Another tribute of the executive is that you can have information provided to the nation. And this makes our map also, which is the one that we're going to be using, to continue explaining very extensively. Whatever I said, sometimes the thing is looking to come up. But also the question arises, even in the agency, we do use this one to say that let's go and answer this one. Let's go and pose the question, what has happened in this particular incident? If you postpone it in terms of what you say to society, society might become the wrong conclusion. As it's coming now to wrong conclusion about centuries, there was nobody debating, and Parliament is suspended. It doesn't matter of when you don't talk to the nation at the right time, then the nation continuously is assuming that we can do any others, and how unlucky can that be? But if you give the nation answers to what is happening, there's nothing wrong. So that Parliament should be about to give information to the nation and society about it. And this type of questioning arises out of that, not because of experience and experience of leaders. We come to call this a need in our democratic system that people must find answers when there is a problem. So when people, soldiers are there, and then all about the president, not even one person, and that information goes to the president and his ministers to give us information, so that the nation knows what's going on. And this is the only part of the platform that pays journalists write what they like. And then you start complaining about them, but they are the ones who go out and tell the nation that yes, the guy was governor in Malaysia. What are you going to do? So this thing is quite credible and acceptable that the people ask us to speak for ourselves, and we are said in the speaker that Parliament must become the center of debate, not outside. Nobody must write this to the public. We will be able to speak to the nation as well as good. And this is what is going to contribute. The measures to sustain. Another motive.
Yeah, Chair, I tend to understand the explanation that the Honorable Boy said, but when I'm trying to read this other one, then it's not really talking to that, because it may have enough provision, but everyone is. Because it's, if the social class has answered questions out today, then according to this cluster, then there will come the fourth meeting of the president. But if there is a member now after today, they arrive at the point that they want to ask an urgent question, that question then has to be put in the next session or question time, which is in 4 weeks to come. That's what I'm seeing here. Because some cases in the next question. That this rule is supposed to provide. That is exactly what I'm trying to ask. If you request a permission for that, and then after you got that permission, then that question will only come in the next question time, which is 3 weeks down the line.
in terms of A, in terms of it's not A, but F on one, then what is the point? It loses the essence. But what I understand with the Honorable Boy is saying is that if it's the current matter that arises now, then there must be provision for the relevant minister or the deputy president that is to talk to you. But if this sub A gets losing that.
As it stands now, I amend it. The intention is that on the next question day, regardless of whether that minister falls within the So if you just have a plus yesterday, being requesting urgent questions, and the speaker, if it's warranted, will accommodate it on the next question day, not waiting for the minister, or we can have a sit on the afternoon. And the note further says that you may even want to look at further, and whether you want to take your question outside of question time entirely. That's a
further note that is there. Do you want to accommodate the kind of issues Mr. Boyd is raising? Okay. Well, that's wrong. Just to say, I think the explanation is also one of my understanding as well, that the next question that you can put to the ordinary minister. But I think the big filter and safeguard here is the speaker. Mm-hmm. It's only done with the approval of the speaker. And I know from experience, the speaker does not, she doesn't entertain these things. She doesn't allow them to happen unless she meets the set criteria that she has indicated. So I also think that for some of the other matters, there's always the matter of urgent public importance as well that can be used. If it's something, for instance, arises that the nation, the fixed nation, we can offer a debate on urgent public importance as well. It gives us on the ability to be at the cutting edge of the
okay, thank you very much, colleagues. I think we are moving on that one. A, so one, two, plus one. A, there, I think we are putting the proposal there, amendment. B is taken as amendment. And then let us move to two. A from two, one, two, plus two.
Yes, Chair. Yes, there was some discussion around the questions of the President and Deputy President set of time limits, and we will probably just have to either say times allotted and time limits for ministers, and have those other provisions where they are with the President and Deputy President.
Anybody there? There's one employee at once.
Yes, we.
Okay.
Sorry, Chair. Yes, we still keep Wednesdays because I think the discussion the last time was that we have certainty as to a question day, and Wednesday will be that.
Except.
Now, we have
on page 2 of one of the comments, the actual definition phrases from the writing from the reply to the question. So it's clear that you see the air, that it's always in the air, and so you just feel that the question as part of your question.
I just wonder why do we want to be so prescriptive and take away again the function from the presiding officer? So the presiding officer will, you know, have the authority to say, okay, send me a question in the follow-up. By being so prescriptive, you're now telling the members what they can and they can't do, you know, do. The convention and the practice is accepted in the guidelines and I don't think we should be using.
Just on that, I think that you must be aware that stock translation and the case of the extreme discretion in the speech and house. Particularly, I think that the annotated guide ruling, if I looked at the FBI guide, and said that the chair decides whether the supplementary question is in order. So the president is there, Parliament, that the justice of the office has decided. Whether that's not, obviously if somebody, you know, asks a question around the nuclear deal and somebody then comes in with a question around you know, and kind of, it's completely accurate rule out of all that. It's not, you know, there's no causal link between the two that we know. The driver will no doubt then say, look, I think that's a new question and going to rule it out of order. But I think what we must do is inhibit the debate and problems and try and put it into a box. We have to flood the broad parameters for full rules, but create the space for debate and testing and policy. And then leaving it to the discretion of the chair is probably the safest way to do it, because the chair didn't guide it after the event, so that's a new question.
Yeah, Jefferson, you know, it's as much as I'd love to really make sure that the presiding officer has for some flexibility in their work. But even if there's anything that can assist members to determine the correctness or the appropriateness of their question, that I think I would really tend to support it. Because, say, I wouldn't lie in the house in front of the public. When I ask a question, then I'm told it's out of order. Because it is problematic to my agenda, but I don't know what I'm doing in the house. So now, if there is anything that serves as a guide to members to really play the game correctly and then I think we could throw it out of the house.
Yes.
And it is fine.
Chair, from experience over the years, it's always been very problematic for the presiding officer on the spur of the moment to decide this is okay and this is out of order because it's not arising from the question. What's happened in the past is that, first of all, the relevant minister said that that's entirely new for the new question on the question. That's an option, and the minister can say that. And the presiding officer then insists that that option proceed. So I think from Judy's point of view, that this is a kind of assistance to members to understand what kind of supplementary questions are in fact allowed and should be allowed. From my own experience, again, I know that there has been, over time, quite a serious abuse of what supplementary questions were meant to do. Used as a book in which hang all kinds of other issues which arise, but which don't really arise. And so this is just, I think, for clarification purposes. The question is to become
the conversation is that members of parliament the presiding officers must be able to in their own opinion, determine whether the question is relevant or not. Everyone agrees with that. Should that be in the rule or not? I don't know if I should spend too much time on the question. A good case says that the question must arrive directly from the original question. and a reply given thereto, and may not constitute a new question. Could anybody use this rule to suppress anyone? Whether it's written or not, it's immaterial, really. In the end, the presiding officer is going to decide. So, I would say that it probably is very prescriptive, such that we might want to keep it in the guidelines supposed to be. It's definitely a prescription. This is what must happen. It's definitely prescriptive, so to speak. And to that extent, I think it works when it's in guidelines, must remain there and not be elevated to the rules. But it's going to achieve the same thing. The society rules are going to do and they know, but what doesn't need to be a modern garment. And I will say myself that no, there are usually a few things in the country there that must be. And then the question is whether that is coming. And the president of Amir. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yesterday we said there will be issues for the guidelines that want to elevate them to the rules. But also people will not be able to the representative officers to decide in a manner that makes different pass for the other rules. But if they are challenged, what they inform without the rules somewhere, I think the problem is it's not more difficult to the members. I thought that it was very detailed. It doesn't cause any problem. He clarifies it and he is for the executive officer to consider the issue and then answer it. And then the proposed condition that is that he is
successful. You see, we've been talking a lot about the function of Christians. And the function of Christians, of course, is political. You have also, Chair, mentioned that sometimes when a question is put, the person who puts the question anticipates or wants a particular reply, and that should not be the order of the day. The minister must be able to, or the president must be able to reply to the question put, and the person putting the question should not anticipate that reply. Now, if we use that argument, why is it that we cannot have an open-ended approach in allowing a follow-up question? Julie herself earlier on referred to the fact that when a reply is given, you base your follow-up question on the reply that is given. And it can happen that when a reply to a question that is put may open up another avenue or possibility for a supplementary question to be asked. So by putting in such a prescriptive situation that it must arise directly from the original question and the reply given and may not constitute a new question, I only agree with the latter half of that proposal, which means it should not constitute a new question. But if it arises out of a reply, we should be allowed to be able to put it. So yes, therefore, I'm saying to avoid confusing the issue, to avoid being prescriptive, to allow for meaningful engagement with the reply, we should not have this. I think the understanding, the convention, and the practice is you don't ask a new question. That we all accept. But if we want to engage with each other and we want proper debate, then we should not be putting prescriptive rules.
I hear Sandy say, Jim, I was asking, if you want a proper debate, then you don't have to. Question patience is a different position. And in all parliaments, I've looked at the Kenya parliament, I've looked at the Malawi parliament, I've looked at the Uganda parliament, and they've got that question. That these questions relate to the answers given to the original question. Now, the point is, or to the original question, the point of the matter is that with great respect, but the DM has challenged the presiding officer to say, in terms of which rule are you making that ruling now? So here we introduce the rule so that it is abundantly clear for everybody what it means without the victory. Otherwise, it's a new question. Now, all we are saying is it must be clear for all members to say when you prepare your presenting question, in order to avoid it as a common machine, you will understand what it means. Because not everybody is consulting the guide. And we try to elevate some of the issues from guide into the rule. Not to go into too much detail, but this is one of those issues that really is a weakness in our rules that it is not obvious for everybody to understand. We have every 5 years, we have new members coming in, etc., and people don't always understand. You don't want to do that all the time. It is important that you understand what is it, what is the intent of the supplementary question. And therefore, we feel very strong. We've made good progress, and we feel that in this system, we have for the proposal. It's well, additional.
We release the attitude of the presiding officers who are in charge of maintaining and running and the routines of the house, and that's why we have it. And if we elevate everything into a rule, then frankly the social seeker could well become superfluous, you know, because they all then just stand up and say, you know, they all pull on tape on the court. So I think that we must really try not to inhibit the free flow of the changes in the House. And I think that the point that O'Callaghan was making is that, you know, in response to a question on the nuclear deal, the President may very well, or a minister may very well refer to, you know, something at, you know, Chassol, or, you know, some other at ESCOM. And you have to then have the latitude in terms of being able to respond to that. You can't allow somebody to introduce an avenue and then not allow somebody to go up that avenue in the supplementary. And that's why I think the discretion is always being led to the presiding officer, because the presiding officer can say, well, you know, the President did open up that avenue, and members, you know, thought, well, they can say the President didn't open up the avenue, and therefore I'm not going to allow that. That's not a supplementary question, it's a new question, and I'm disallowing it. Or as Ms. Pandit just said, the President said, sorry, it's a new question, I didn't go there. And therefore, I'm not prepared to answer it. So I think if we try to elevate every measure of the, you know, of precedent into the rules, it's going to be problematic.
My chair, if you want to close, mind you must close and wait for.
No, Chair, all what I was just indicating is that you see, when we have got the questions for all of the black. These questions for oral reply. When you've got a snap debate, it's a snap debate. When you've got a general debate, you've got a general debate. You see, if you are going to try and build in an element of the debate in a question for oral reply, then we may end up losing issues. Given our procedures are not formal and everything, then it's absolutely going to be another issue. Because surely these things where you've got the question for oral reply and a snap debate, why they are different is because the different atoms, those things have. And if you are going to just bring in elements of the debate into questions of oral reply, then of course that's a lie. And then we are actually going to find our question to be that. Thank you, sir.
Okay, so I think we... Thank you. Amen.